We again welcome you tonight, especially all those who are newly added. May God bless you all. It's my prayer. As I already said, the singers have sung. I would like to read us a word of God before we pray together. Let us read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, from verse 4. 1 Thessalonians 5, from verse 4. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Do we agree with this? I think with the night or with darkness and with sin and with all evil, the people of God have nothing to do with it. This is something wonderful. Then it says, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Do we want to be it, beloved? This is it. We want to be watchful. We want to be sober, for we know the devil walks around like a roaring lion. He wants to devour whom he can devour. And I want to tell you, he doesn't seek them with the unbelievers. He goes to the believers. Them he wants to devour. But the Bible tells us, we just read it, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesyings. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Thanks be to our God for such wonderful words which we can look at tonight. I think we must obey everything. When Paul requires the believers here that they should give thanks in every situation to the living God, then today it is our turn that we thank God, especially for this time of grace and for His precious and holy word. We can just say He has blessed us until now in such a wonderful way. Are we not grateful for it, beloved? I think we stand up and open all our mouths and hearts, thanking God together. Faithful God, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts that we can be again gathered here to give you the honor and the praise. Lord, your word tells us we should give thanks in every situation to you. Also here, we don't want to fail. But receive now our thanks, receive the honor, the worship from all our hearts and from all our mouths. We are here, Lord. We are your people, the flock of your hand. Faithful God, you know our hearts. Lord, we have not come because we don't know what to do, but we have come to be blessed by you and to be revived by you, to receive new things from you, fresh food, and you prepared for us the table so richly, O God. We worship you and we praise your wonderful name. Whether young or old, we give you the praise and we glorify your wonderful grace. Praise be to your name, Lord. Continue to be with us. Bless with us all your people. I ask it. And I pray also, bless our brother that he can bring your word. Strengthen him after spirit, soul, and body. And give us grace, Lord, that we have open ears, open hearts, and open eyes, that we receive everything what you have to say unto us, O God. We worship you, Lord. We praise your grace in this evening hour. Blessed be your wonderful and glorious name. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. Perhaps we sing a chorus or two. The Lord is my strength and my praise. He is my salvation. The Lord is my strength and my praise. Praise and thanks be unto the Lord. We are again grateful that we can be here to hear the word. Every time I wished that I finally could remain seated, and nevertheless, we must As long as the Lord leaves us here, we must do what He commanded us. And the fruit thereof will be found in eternity. The work is sometimes hard, but a songwriter sings, "Wonderful is the reward." On that day, when the Lord calls His own home, then all the toil will be worthwhile. It's not only like this, that we, who we are preaching the Word of God, but also you bring your sacrifices, investing your time, not shunning any trouble, not shunning any way to come to hear God's Word. You shall hear it once from the bottom of my heart. I and we appreciate it that you come to hear God's Word. And I hope that the Lord in every meeting has something for everyone. Until now it was so, and thus it shall remain. If it's now hours of teaching, then one cannot preach in a mighty way. Then one has to take one scripture after the other. And this is also very important. Everything has its place. Living meetings with a mighty preaching, and then likewise the meetings in which we look at God's Word to have a firm foundation so that nothing could shake us. Thanks be to the Lord for the Holy Word which He has kept unto us. And you all know what Brother Branham says. The people, especially when they study theology, then the problems start and they don't stop. They can never be solved because they get lost in the meaning of words which they want to feel out with the reasoning. And this is impossible. It's not important whether one is fluent in Greek or Hebrew or Aramaic or Chinese. Important is that we connect spiritual things with the language of the Spirit, as Paul writes to the Corinthians, and that the mystery of God is revealed to us by the Spirit. This is the most important. Now, this evening, we have the continuation about the day of the Lord and that what is connected with it. We looked at some things already last night. Let me, before I read from the Bible, let me read from the last page of the first seal. Here, Brother Branham says, God has promised, while all these twisted denominations argue about the differences of their beliefs, that He would send us a true prophet of the true Word, with a message which would turn the hearts of the children back to the original Word of God and to the faith of the fathers. He brings also the power of the Holy Spirit among the people, and also the power which raises them up over all these things, and which will take them up into glory. a wonderful word. You can all read it on the last page. It's page 61 and then 62 in the seals book. Let us now, in the name of the Lord, with deep reverence, look at the word and see what the Lord will say to us. Brother Rus already read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and God willing, we will come back to it. Let us begin with 2 Peter chapter 1 with verse 19 and then also verse 20, and then we will continue. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His Majesty. Here, the following things were emphasized. We have not followed cunningly devised fables. And then, when we made known unto you the power and coming of the Lord. And then we were eyewitnesses of His Majesty. It was so that the Lord Jesus gathered disciples around Himself, and to them He said, "Ye are my witnesses." They were with Him. They traveled with Him. They have seen His ministry. They witnessed everything. They were eyewitnesses. They were ear witnesses. They could say out of full conviction what God wanted to say through them. In verse 20 it says, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." What a wonderful word! No private interpretation, no prophecy after the will of man, but a being placed into the will of God, into the plan of God, submitted under the inspiration of the word. And there where God stops, there we also stop. And where He begins, there we begin. Where He is silent, there we are silent. And where He speaks, there we speak. We abide, by God's help, in the limits of the Word of God. Let us now come to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Here are written in the first verses very wonderful words, which we also want to take to heart. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, who shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Here it is spoken of the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And this beginning leads straight to the word of the prophet Malachi, chapter 3, verse 1. And subsequently, without introduction, to Isaiah, chapter 40. And these two scriptures are put at the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So, the beginning was according to the word of prophecy. And Peter writes, we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well, that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. It pleased God to put the word of prophecy in this age in a special way upon the lampstand. Let us hold unto this thought. Everything must go the way as God promised it by the mouth of his servants and prophets. From the Old Testament, we read yesterday almost every scripture up to the last one, namely Malachi, and there the last verses in chapter 4. Here it says from verse 4, remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers. So far this word. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. You all know that the ministry of John lies already almost 2,000 years in the past, and the terrible day of the Lord has not yet come. And we will find out why the Lord in one single scripture had to call John as Elijah. Listen, I said he had to call him, because the first part from this verse which we just read was fulfilled in his ministry, although he was the prophet according to Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, namely this part, verse 6. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children. This first part was fulfilled in the ministry of John the Baptist. But he was not the Elijah who should come before the great and terrible day of the Lord, as I said, because then the earth should have been burned a long time ago. Listen how precise the Holy Scripture says it. Read with me Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, perhaps from verse 11. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and with this the Old Testament word of prophecy stops, because only this part referred to him. The second part, that the heart of the children are turned back to the fathers, this was fulfilled by the ministry which we in this time witnessed. I will give you all the scriptures. Please, don't you worry about it. In the Gospel of John, in chapter 1, we read from verse 19, and this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then? Art thou Elijah? And he says, I am not. Did you all read with me? Then you can read on with me, namely verse 24. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him, and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elijah, neither that prophet? They could not understand at that time that spiritual things can be written in one verse, and that its fulfillment can lay apart 2,000 years. The same we find in the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 4, when the Lord Jesus at that time opened up the scroll of the prophet Isaiah and was reading from it. It says here in Luke chapter 4, verse 17, And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. There our Lord stops in the middle of a verse. You can all read it in the prophet Isaiah 61. Right behind it, it says, "And the day of vengeance, the day of vengeance, the day of the Lord, the day which will burn as an oven." He could not proclaim it at that time. At that time, the day of grace began. And so we see the absolute perfection and leading of the Holy Spirit in everything what was written in the Old Testament, and also then has found its fulfillment in the New Testament and will still find. In the Gospel of Matthew, in chapter 11, from verse 9, we read, "But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee." Whoever wants to look it up, he just needs to again read Malachi 3, verse 1. If we now go straight to Matthew 17, here we read from verse 10. Matthew 17, from verse 10. "And his disciples asked him, saying, Why then say the scribes that Elias must first come? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things." And I read on purpose, not further on. And you also don't need to do it. This the Lord has said after the ministry of John the Baptist was finished a long time ago. Here he says, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. In reference to the ministry of John the Baptist, because the first part of the last promise in the prophet Malachi was fulfilled in his ministry, so our Lord says in verse 12, "But I say unto you that Elijah is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed." We see that our Lord used precisely the right words, as also John did, as Gabriel did when he gave to Zacharias the announcement. Everything has its rightful place. Can you all understand this so far? Yes, all of you. That on one hand, the ministry of John the Baptist is Malachi 3, verse 1, but because the first part, namely to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and this Brother Branham said very clearly, the hearts of the Old Testament fathers, turning them back and to bring them to that what was prepared to the New Testament children of God. Now we, at the end, as the children of God, are again laid back, namely to turn the hearts of the children back to the original faith which our fathers had at the time of the apostles. Everything is correct. It just needs to be seen. But also this, perhaps it should be said here. No matter how many scriptures we read and telling them others, to whom God does not reveal it, to him it remains hidden. There we can do what we like, for it is not in our power. And I know it from my international travelings. There are few who believe the full gospel, who do not respect Brother Branham as a special man of God and receive him. But if it then comes to it, that the claim is made that it was him of whom it is written that he would come before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes, then all horses get wild. Then they just cannot stand it. And I tell you why not. Because they want to walk on their own ways and want to stay in their organizations and are not ready to make a correction on themselves. And therefore, they push this thought away from them. For us, this thought is precious. What good would be the greatest man of God for me, if through him not the word of God would have come to fulfillment? Then we would not have any orientation. Then we could let come a great man of God and set up a great program. No, for us, who we recognize this, exactly this is precious, what is a stumbling block for others. And the same applied to our Lord. For some, he was the rock of offense, and for the others, the rock of salvation. Some stumbled at him, namely in their disobedience against the word of God, and the others straightened themselves up on him. This was so at all times, and it will remain like this. Then we have the wonderful promise in the book of Acts, in chapter 3, and here from verse 16, perhaps from, and then of course, especially from verse 20, perhaps we read straight verse 20. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, who before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. We see that this word says more than clear that a time of refreshing is in connection with the restitution of all things. And we believe that the Lord has not only given us a message of restoration, but that he has sent his prophetic word for his prophetic plan aforehand to work the faith in us and to bring forth the longing in us so that he can fulfill all this in us. And if we read the term, all that what God has spoken through the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began, then read with me Revelation chapter 10 verse 7, well known to all of us, and nevertheless time and again new and fresh, and a confirmation that the Spirit of God has laid all. Here it is written, Revelation 10, verse 7, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared to his servants, the prophets. We see the perfect agreement as he declared it to his holy servants and prophets since the world began. And through this ministry, everything should come to the close. And this we also believe with all our hearts. This ministry is not bound to any person, at least not to one single person, but for all of the church. All who hear in these days the words of the divine promise and who believe them with all their hearts, they shall receive and experience what God has promised in his word. The Lord used individuals to bring the message, but he always used many to fulfill his word on them. You all know, John was just an individual, and suddenly he could say, I hear the jubilation of the bride. He could present to the Lord a well-prepared people. And he said, he who has the bride, this is the bridegroom, and the friend of the bridegroom stands next and hears the jubilation of the bride. Yes, this was already the gospel, a John who made the bridge from the Old to the New Testament. He speaks already of the bridegroom and of the bride. Through his ministry, he called out people who were bride souls and whom he could lead to the bridegroom, namely to the Lord Jesus Christ, whose way he prepared. And also this we emphasized many times, a man of God does not blow his own trumpet, and he also prepares no way for himself. Every servant of God who has to do a service was sent to prepare a way for the Lord and to connect the people of God through the proclamation with God, that a conformity with the church and with God can take place, and with this a conformity in the Word of God. Not in that what we, you and I and others say, but what God has said in his word. If we read of the day of the Lord, and this is our subject. Then writes Peter, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. There are many scriptures which speak of the day of the Lord. And I'm grateful to God that we find these scriptures not only in the Old, but also in the New Testament. And we come now to the word which was read already. But firstly, I would like to point you to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and there the last verse. Here the rapture is described and it says in the last verse, wherefore comfort one another with these words. And you all know, when you read from verse 13, that it only deals that the Lord will return, that the dead in Christ shall rise, and we shall be changed, and together we will be raptured to meet the Lord in the air. But now, in connection with this great event on which we are all waiting for, the admonition comes, and this we must take seriously. Now, chapter 5 from verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Last night we read a large part of these scriptures, and here it is being said even more clear to us. When they shall proclaim, now is peace, now is safety. And there was never a time in which so many peace and safety conferences took place as now in our time. And it will come to the point that a false peace will be made. And when this false peace will be proclaimed as a peace, and when they can say, now everything will be in safety, everything is under control, everything can be overlooked, everything the one knows of the other, but both don't know of the plan of God. What good would it be for the two if they know of each other, if they don't know anything of the plan of God, namely that also therein the scripture must find its fulfillment in these days. When they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. We notice that this thing is now taking place, and it is really only a question of time. And God can today lay into the heart of the one and the other, sit together, and then he gives it into the heart of the third, let the man dressed in white also come. And he will then proclaim the peace and giving his blessing so that all the world also believes it. whether you can believe this today or not, thus it will come. The people will not believe the politicians, but they will believe the greatest politician, who of course doesn't come on the scene as such. This is clear. And if he comes on the scene, then the people don't notice it. It is very strange that under such a mantle, basically everything can be hidden, and not one looks behind it, not one. Everything is hidden under it. But listen, listen, this I didn't just say like this. I believe the Spirit of God has led me therein. And now I look to 2 Thessalonians on chapter 2. And here it is written from verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. That ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. You see what's all about? Here it is spoken of the coming of the Lord, of our gathering together, and then comes the serious admonition. Don't be troubled, nor be shaken in your mind. If somebody thinks to have a revelation that the day of the Lord was already here, then one can tell him, listen, dear friend, first of all must these scriptures find their fulfillment. And when the day of the Lord comes, then one doesn't have to announce it anymore. The fire of judgment and the wrath of God, this will describe the day of the Lord very clearly. Not one man needs to describe it, right or not, for thus it is written. But there are, of course, people who know everything better. They even know that the rapture took place already, without that it was fulfilled what is written. Two will grind at the mill, two will be in a bed, and two on the field. Oh, if one could understand this once, that people have nothing to say in the matters of God, for our understanding is covered with darkness. We must let God speak, and we must hear what he has to say to us. Another possibility does not exist to keep the clarity and the truth. Here it says, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled. Here it speaks even of reasoning. One can nicely reason this scripture and that scripture, this must still take place, and so forth. So neither a letter, nor a revelation, nor any statement shall trouble us, as if the day of the Lord is here already. And now it comes. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. One could read on here, but one sees that these things take shape now. This never came to light in the past. But recently we notice how he steps on the world platform, not just somewhere, a little state, in the midst of a state or in a city, but that this man openly comes forth, and we will watch it. There are two special things. On one hand, the people of Israel, and that what is happening there, that we watch it, and on the other hand, we don't make a secret out of it. We must watch and pay attention to what is happening in the religious realm, and how this wound is healed so nicely, and how the open arms are here for all, but not for the church of the living God. We will flee into the arms of him who stretched them forth on the cross to receive us. It says here in verse 8, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Not signs and wonders of the truth as the confirmation of the word, but works of power. And if there is somebody who executes power, then we know who it is. And all these lying wonders and signs, people fall prey to them who didn't believe the truth. This afternoon, we emphasize this here already, that precious, well-known brothers and sisters to us in churches and fellowships just walk on the way of error because they didn't recognize the hour of their gracious divine visitation. They thought there comes a man on the scene, and they didn't know that he was a man sent from God with a message of God addressed to the people of God to call out from old Babylon of this time, to bring us then back into the Word of God. I'm so grateful that it is written here, behold, I send you the prophet Elijah. There is no prophet who impresses in such a way as the prophet Elijah. What did he find in his days? A Jezebel. And everything went wrong. All of the people of Israel turned away. The altar of God was torn down, and everyone did what he liked. And then the word of the Lord came to the prophet Elijah, and he rebuilt the altar of the Lord again. He took the 12 stones, and then he laid the wood upon it. You all know the story. And so, Brother Branham put the doctrine of the 12 apostles, the original proclamation inspired by the Spirit of God, he put them anew upon the lampstand. And we cannot be satisfied any sooner until we received and experienced the same what our brothers and sisters experienced at the beginning. Our Lord is of course Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. He cannot change. He remains faithful to His word. But in this connection is written the serious admonition from verse 10. In them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. This is a very serious word, and it's still written in connection with the day of the Lord, with the return of our Savior, with our uniting with Him, with the great falling away, with the revealing of the man of sin and of the son of perdition. And if people do not believe God and do not listen to the true prophet, then they will have to believe the devil and listen to the false prophet. That's how it looks like. A way between does not exist anymore. The decision must be made. And Brother Branham expressed it very clearly in the two sermons. The seal of God and the mark of the beast. And he said very clear to it, all who don't believe, you can hear it yourself and you can read it, they receive the mark of the beast. But all who believe with all their heart, they will be sealed with the Holy Spirit. And we belong to these people who do not believe with the head, but with the heart. Is this so? Sometimes also thoughts come into our heads. This we all know. But I ask you to distinguish this once, that we not always fall for it. The thoughts which we have in our heads are of course not the revealed word of God. The revealed word of God rests in our hearts. This no one can take out anymore. It is as it was with Abraham. And you all know that Cain, who was a hybrid, he was the first one who was marked because he came forth from the false inspiration of the serpent and so forth. He was marked. Most people did not yet understand of what it is all about here. Not only about a knowledge, but really about much more. Only those who are appointed for the devil because they came forth from his inspiration, they will receive the mark of the beast. All children of God are sealed with the seal of the Holy Spirit. We must once believe this with all our hearts so that it can take place. Perhaps we will speak about it still. Have we been able to explain this clearly enough so far? That the day of the Lord was not here already 2,000 years ago, but that it will be when the time of grace is over, that then the wrath of our God, yes, the reckoning, the vengeance, that then the judgments of God will strike this earth. And we read in the word of introduction, God has not appointed you to wrath. That's how I have heard it, at least, in 1 Thessalonians, in chapter 5. Here it says, in verse 8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you all believe this? God has not appointed us for the time when the bowels of wrath are poured out and the terrible judgments will come upon this earth. Many times we heard it from the mouth of Brother Branham, the two examples from the time of Sodom and of the days of Noah. Before the judgment could come in the days of Noah, he must have entered into the ark. Before the fire fell on Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot was laid out, and the Lord said it himself, as it was then, so it will be again. God has not appointed us for the wrath, but that we should inherit salvation. If we read here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 4, but ye brethren are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Is this not a wonderful word? At evening time there should be light. At that time the Spirit of God inspired our beloved brothers Peter and Paul and made them to write down the things in this time for us, so that we have a divine orientation in these last days. Is this not wonderful? Here it speaks of the return of the Lord and of all the connections. And it was almost 2,000 years ago. How good is our God! Wise! Yes, for him there is no designation. He is wonderful and glorious. He didn't forget anything. He says, ye beloved brothers, ye can face this day in all peace. For before this day comes, I send you the prophet Elijah. He will restore all things. The word of God will flesh. Yes, it will be revealed. And in that moment in which God's word is revealed to us, then it flashes as a bright light. A word which was not illuminated to us by the Spirit of God does not shine yet as a bright light. Many people, they read the Holy Scripture. Don't you think the people have not the same Bible which we have? Millions read the same word. the same chapters. Why don't they see it? Because they recognize not the time and hour in which we live, and also not the divine sending and the ministry. They bypass it, as it was at the first coming of the Lord. And again, our hearts get grateful. Not that we exalt ourselves above others. God forbid, just the contrary. It humbles us in the dust and into the ashes. But we rejoice about it, that God has given us an orientation in these days. And I'm grateful that Brother Branham could say, if I announced something that was not fulfilled, then you can call me a false prophet. God was with him and revealed everything to him. And I think that the Lord has also helped us all these scriptures so nicely with one another. And before us is an overall program of our God for His church in these last days. The people of God are the best informed people, and we are very grateful to the Lord for it. Most certainly, we could read some more scriptures, but you all know, if one has to serve 3 times on a day, then one may also stop. Praise and thanks be unto the Lord. May all these precious words have fallen into our hearts, that we ponder on them, and that we thank the Lord for it and say, faithful God, you have given us grace in your light, in your revealed word. We may see all the connections, and for this we should thank our God with all our hearts. Can you all understand that Brother Branham really was that prophet who should come before the great and terrible day of the Lord, to show to the church of the living God all these scriptures, and to call us out so that we can be prepared unto the glorious day of the return of our Lord. If you can believe this with all your heart, then just say a strong amen. Let us stand up and thank the Lord. Brother Rus, please come, we thank together. Faithful God, we thank you with all our hearts for your grace, for your love, for your faithfulness, Lord, for your precious word, Lord, for your plan which you purposed. We thank you for your servants, for your prophets, for the apostles through whom you spoke, which helps us today so much, Lord. In all things, we don't even know how much thanks, how much honor, how much praise and worship we shall say to you, Lord. But we open all together our heart, and our mouth, Lord, shall praise you and glorify you, for you are our God, you are our Savior, you are our Redeemer. You will fetch us into your kingdom, into your glory, Lord. My heart rejoices and my soul jubilates in the Lord my God. Hallelujah. Praise and worship be to you, Lord, for all the precious words of truth which were shown to us and which we could receive into our hearts. We worship you and we praise your wonderful name, O Lord. Great things you have done, and even greater you will still do. Hallelujah. Lord, we know you have given your word and your promises, and you fulfill them all. You nourish your people. As you said through Daniel, in the last days, many will receive understanding. And so we are happy that you have opened our understanding. O God, to your name be the glory and the praise until all eternity. Hallelujah. How great thou art!